Zena. I'll always love you.
I gotta take a little time. A little time to think things over. I better read between the lines. In case I need it when I'm colder.
Welcome everyone to Zena's Ubers Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 91. This podcast shows for all the Zena and Ubers subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. Welcome everyone to the Christmas edition of XNU. We've got a fabulous show for you this episode. Not that the other ones aren't stellar in their own right, but we've got a lot of Christmas things this one. The first thing we'll do is make the song dedication that was sent in this episode by Faye. Faye's asked that Mariah Carey's I Want to Know What Love Is be dedicated to all the listeners and to bring us the real reason of Christmas back into our minds, and especially for her true and only love. So for you, Faye, and for her love, and for all my listeners, there you go. In the spirit of this, I'd like to send out a few words for some people this season. Firstly, to Tamar for her beloved pets. I wish a speedy and healthy recovery. I know exactly what you're feeling, and I wish you God's blessings for your emotional time. To B for a job prospect that has recently come up for her that would help her health dramatically, and for her healing of your shoulder, prayers to you. And to Julie in New York, prayers and blessings for your children, Julie. May God watch over both of them, one while serving for his country and the other while he's in hospital. I really hope and pray that everything turns out okay for them, darling. Okay, let's do a book recommendation and a follow-up request. The recommended book this week from my book wench, Heather, is called Battle Scars. It's published under Boldstroke Books, and of course, as usual, I'll always have a link on my show notes for all the things that I mention on the show. And it's Battle Scars by Megan O'Brien. Rae McKenna returns from the war in Iraq to find that she's attained unwanted celebrity status back home. As the only surviving American soldier of a well-publicized hostage crisis, she is the center of attention at a time when all she wants is solitude. Struggling to overcome the fear and anxiety that plagues her, she relies on her psychiatric therapy dog, Jagger, to help her through the vicious symptoms of PTSD. Veterinarian Dr. Carly Warner hasn't yet figured out how to open her heart to the possibility of falling in love again after the death of her longtime partner. When Rae McKenna walks into the North Coast Veterinary Clinic with Jagger, she and Carly begin a friendship that takes them both by surprise. Brought together by their shared love of dogs, Rae and Carly discover that they are both capable of moving forward, if only they brave enough to try. So thank you to my book witch, Heather, on that. And then the follow-up request I have is for the past book recommendations. If you've read any of them and have a moment, please send me an email with your review or idea of them. I've had a few authors ask, and I like to forward them on to them. It is something that they greatly appreciate. So if anybody has read any books that I've recommended, please send me an email so I could forward them to the authors. I'll remove your name if you want to remain anonymous. Thank you for that. Okay, it's time for movie time. Can you just tell I'm so excited? Okay, this week's movie suggestion comes from a fellow Black Knight, and I don't mean color or British title, by the way. If you've ever seen the Monty Python movie, you'll know my history of injuries. It's not a title one aspires to be. Anyways, Vanessa has finally and kindly sent in two things for us this week. One is this week's movie recommendation, and it's Bitch Slap. Of course, everybody's heard it. It's the one with starring Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor in it. Yay! And she says that it's in a sneak preview, that it is not out till January 8th. But in it, she says it's not exactly out yet, but she has had her sources. Anyway, the movie is out in January 8th and has been out at various film festivals all over the world. The movie has everything anyone would want in a movie. Hot girls, fight scenes, fast cars, a little bit of romance, and did I mention hot girls? So there's a link for it on the website bitchslapmovie.com, and I'll have a link on my show notes for it. Also, she sent in a beautiful Christmas list, Why Xena is Santa. She's it's an interesting perspective, and she's let me share it with you. So she sent a link for the list, as well as a bunch of other random Xena-related lists as well. I'm going to read them to you here, and I'll also post them on the show notes. Okay, just for the holiday season, Why Xena is Santa. Number 10, has firm notions about good and bad. Number 9, can enter a house unnoticed, but normally leaves behind ample evidence of her passage. Number 8, high leather boots. Okay, anyway, 7, likes to travel with the help of a well-trained quadruped. Number 6, can fly, almost. Number 5, while her legend has mythic roots from several cultures, she is on the whole a quite modern phenomenon. Number 4, has a theme song, or more than one. Number 3, goes around the world at inhuman speed. Number 2, has a cute sidekick way shorter than she is. And the number 1 reason, has a trademark monosyllabic shout. So, that Why Xena is Santa, and I'll have that link on my show notes. Well, I'm going to give a life update as well, as I've had a few listeners say that they've missed the personal update section, and I really know that means that you want to know what other exploits or injuries I've gotten myself into, you bunch of masochists. But okay, I'm into that right now. Not! So this is what's been going on. We'll start with the insurance fiasco that most of you are well aware of. For those of you who aren't, well, the quick version is that back in March, my indoor water heater turned into an indoor water feature and ruined a brand new wood floor that had been laid down. And then the contractors that the insurance assessor sent out was a crook. So after months of red tape and jumping through hoops, we finally got all the work done to our satisfaction, and all our bills were paid, and we were reimbursed for items that we lost. But it does not end there, does it? No such luck. Apparently, the only, and I do mean only thing, the insurance company was ever informed of was by us when we called them to make a claim. Nothing else. Not the crook installer, not the wrong materials, not the breaking of our door when they came in to do the repair work, not the faulty materials or the shoddy work. Nothing. Nada. Zero. Zilch. So as you know, I was getting ready to send them a here's the hoops we've jumped through letter. But they sent the renewal, the annual renewal notice last week, and before I even finalized my letter. So I come home from work, and Julie hands me a letter, my cup of chai tea, and gives me a kiss on the cheek and walks out the backyard and says, gonna be back out here. I'm like wondering why. Then I figured out, you big chicken. She heard me curse all the way out in the backyard. They actually had the audacity to raise my premium, are you ready for this, 30%. We're talking $430 a year increase. What the hell? No. I'm just so mad. I had to rewrite my letter the first time just to take out the curses, and then to rewrite it a second time just to take out the part where I told them where they put the premiums. And it just... breathe. So I will definitely update you on this as it gets going from one extreme to the other. So FYI, stay tuned. Okay, on to the Body Works. Well, as you also know, back a while, I tore my butt muscle, and it's healed quite nicely, thank you. Yay! I can actually sit down and do all that stuff. But I need everyone to start paying attention to the back of the milk cartons when you're sitting down for breakfast or whatever. As my friend B said in an email, that you might see my right knee pictured there. Because apparently my right knee has decided to crawl away, since I can't run without it. And I am raising funds right now as we speak for a reward for its return and safe and hopefully healthy return. But my physio assures me that it'll be within the week when it returns, so that I can start the new year off on a good jog. Keep your fingers crossed. I think this is where I sing, "All I Want for Christmas Are My Two New Knees." It's like, shit, it only gets better. And then there is the issue of having helped relocate my father-in-law out of his living arrangements. Now, as you... okay. My father-in-law lives in a caravan. Now, this is my partner's biological father, okay? He lives out in a caravan, and we had to move him from the caravan into the mobile home. Now, I don't mind work, as you all know of my honey-do list. It gets a bit rough sometimes, I tell you, but, you know, okay. So, this is where I sent I really put out this cautionary disclaimer for you drivers or anybody riding a bike or anything, because the following is probably going to cause you into fits of hysterics. So you might just want to, like, pull over or, like, stop for a second at a red light or pulled over, whatever. Just, okay. You see, Julie's had gone to go pick up her dad from the respite nursing home because he was recovering from surgery for colon cancer, because we've discovered that her dad has colon cancer. So... Well, she's going to go and pick him up and set up the bill and do all that. I said I would begin moving things out of the caravan and cleaning it out and putting him into the new mobile home. Okay, now, her dad is an old farmer who lives on a horse ranch, and I have nothing against this, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying this is the kind of lifestyle, so you can start getting this in your mindset. So the caravan was pulled out of this spot, which is like under a big, huge warehouse shed, and it was put out in a paddock. And it sits out on a paddock about 30 or 40 yards away from where the new mobile home was inserted. Now, this is a mobile home, not as in like mobile homes, trailer homes, but as in a relocatable home. It's a big, huge room with a bathroom and everything in it. That's what this is. So, now this, in this caravan that I'm taking things out of, clothing and things like that, he has this old antique sideboard closet, you know, the one with the skeleton keys and two doors, and you open up one door and it has drawers inside on halfway down, and the top part you can put stuff. So anyway, I take everything out, take out the drawers, the clothes and everything, I'm emptying this out, and I get it outside to brush it down, wipe it and clean it, no problem. Then I load it up on the moving trolley on one end. Okay, we're good to go here. And I go to start to move it. Now, here is where I also tell you that at this point, I had been working for like 2.5 hours out in the 92, 95 degree heat. So I'm sweaty, I'm tired, and I'm also really, really hungry. And I'm the kind of person that, I'm not diabetic or anything, but if I don't eat every 2 hours because my body just burns so much energy, I actually start getting the shakes and I get irritable. And, well, I went to tilt the sideboard back on the trolley and start moving it. Well, it did the lean-to and started to tip over. And, of course, I tried to stop it. Now, if this had been caught on video, I would have won it in one of those, you know, funniest home video things. Hands down, easy as. Okay, and you know, like, when... all of a sudden, it's fright or flight. You just don't think sometimes. You just, your body automatically goes, and then later on you go, why the hell did I do that? So needless to say, I didn't really think. And anyway, I didn't realize it. But anyway, at this point, this 4 foot wide, 6 foot tall, empty closet fell on me. No, thank God it's empty, and I wasn't hurt, but it you can visually picture this, okay? I am sprawled out on the ground. This closet is on top of me, and all you can see are my feet and my hands. And I am cacking myself. I am literally, after the initial shock wore off, I just started laughing and laughing, and I couldn't catch my breath. I was laughing so hard. Tears are streaming down the side of my face. If anybody would have caught up, they thought I would have been in pain. I was just cacking myself in tears and laughing. Yeah, and I know you shitty little guys are just laughing your silly little cotton socks off. I did, so you go right ahead. So I finally got out from underneath this thing, tilted it back up, shook myself off, got all this sand and grass and everything out of my hair and everything, got some rope, which I should have done in the first place, tied it up, and then moved it. So there you have my weekend. Does anybody want to trade with me? Come on. Any takers? Well, let's get on to the show, shall we? Oh, yeah. By the way, I've decided on three things for the 100th episode. First of all, I'm going to create a recipe corner. So we'll start, have all your listeners start sending me in your recipes. I don't care if I get 5 or I get 55 or I get 505. Start sending them in. And once a week, I'll put the recipe of the week on the show. And I'll list the rest of them. So in case you want to just, where did Cass, I heard that Cass had that recipe. I heard it on the show. Let me go and get it. I'll have it on my blog spot so you can look it up and have your recipe and everything there. The second idea for the show that we're going to have, and the other two ideas are, I have to say thank you to Faye, B, and to Prue for these two, because they're really good. From Faye and B, it's a contest of Uber short stories. Everyone and anyone can show the talent of writing, so I want some short stories, means really short, no longer than 2 pages, and I'll probably choose 1, 2, or maybe even 3 winners, but whatever. I'll read your story on the show, character voices and everything. Whatever scenes you put in, anything you do, you'll be the winners, and that's what it'll be for the 100th show. And from Prue, her list was like a time machine. And basically, what it means is that, like, some people who are just starting onto the X and U shows they haven't caught up in a while, every so often I'll throw out a time machine episode, which means, like, today I'll announce for the 100th episode. So now you're on 91. So you know that if you are downloading and you see on iTunes, there's, I got another 8 more episodes to go. You can go ahead and jump to the 100th episode if you want. And that's going to be the time capsule one. That one will show where this is what's going on right now. It'll be a separate side story, like maybe an Uber story from the contest that we've won. And just an update on everything that's going on. So you can actually catch up right there and then. Then go back and re-listen to the ones and catch up. And I'll do that every 5 episodes or maybe every 10 episodes. So, that's, I'm still sitting there going, I'm sure nobody wants my life. Just cacking myself here. We'll get on to the show and get it on the road. Come and get me. A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. The last part of part 8. Let me get this straight. Draco held up one hand.
You want me to wager a lot of dinars?
Xena nodded as she peeked at her competitors in the spear throw.
On you!
Draco's voice was incredulous.
Xena, no way!
The warrior gave him a dour look, then shook her head. Wait here. We'll finish this argument when I get back. She unclasped her light cloak and stripped it off, draping it over Gabrielle's courteously waiting arm, then stalked off towards where the rest of the athletes were assembling.
Forget it, Xena! I won't be here when you...
Draco started to yell after her, then he paused, blinking. Gabrielle folded her partner's cloak over her arm as she watched Xena make her way through the crowd, the way parting before her, as though by magic. Even in this cluster of big, strong bodies, her partner still stood out, not by her size, but the almost indefinable air that surrounded her. The sunlight flowed over her, marking the distinct contrast between Xena's tan skin and dark hair with the white garment that barely covered her. She'd taken off the bandage on her knee and now stood easily by the spear rack, one hand resting on the stone pylon.
Damn.
Draco finally recovered her speech.
Something wrong?
Gabriel glanced at him curiously.
Nah, nothing.
The ex-warlord muttered. Gabriel shrugged and turned to watch the competition. Xena had removed spear from the bin and laid it across her shoulders, using its length to stretch her muscles out as she twisted from side to side. Around her, the other participants were doing the same, waiting for the games official to come over and steal furtive looks at each other. Xena felt the sun beating down on her back, and she let the butt of the spear she picked up rest on the ground as she leaned her weight on it. Her competition looked impressive, 8 powerfully built men and 2 women. In this event, not every city would enter. Running, anyone could do, but using the tools of war was something entirely different. Xena accepted a marker, which placed her 4th in line to throw.
Thanks,
she said, stepping back out of the way as a man got himself ready. It was an easy event on the surface. You grabbed hold of a spear at its balance point, or just behind it, depending on how strong you were, aimed, and threw. Simple. Except that Xena knew that the heat and the winds and the moisture in the air all had a factor to play in the result. She watched carefully as the first man wound up, and taking 3 long steps before reaching the prominent mark on the stone, released the spear. It launched up quickly, propelled by the man's powerful arm, and arced towards the sun, traveling a long, long distance across the stone to land point first in a sand pit designed to catch the spears. It was a very good throw, and the man knew it. It had passed all but 2 of the fabric markers, and the cheers of the crowd increased accordingly. He lifted a hand in acknowledgement and sauntered back over the rest of the waiting group, a look of proud satisfaction on his face. They would have 3 casts, and so far, it was starting out a tough contest.
She'll never beat that,
Draco stated with a snort. Gabriel merely leaned against a convenient stone pedestal and watched as the second thrower approached the line. This was a tall, muscular woman with sandy hair and a very no-nonsense expression, and she released the spear with an audible grunt. It was a good throw, but not nearly as long as the first. The woman wiped her hands and stepped back, shaking her head and frowning.
Well, I don't know, the bard finally said. Xena's pretty competitive.
Draco stepped up next to her.
Yeah, but that guy's the best. He's who I've got my money on.
He pointed to the first man.
That's Silenus. He's been training for these games for years. He's a captain of the Athenian army.
Gabriel nodded as the third entrant had a go. The stocky young man was over-anxious, though, and his throw was far off course and very short.
Oh, that's too bad.
Draco snorted.
He knows he doesn't have a chance. They all know it.
Except Xena.
Gabriel interjected gently.
Come on, get real,
he answered.
I have no idea what she thinks she's doing, but she's so out of her legion it's pathetic.
Draco folded his arms across his chest.
See? Watch.
They both did, as Xena hefted her spear and approached the throwing line, her casual attitude very much at odds with the rest of the participants. The warrior paused and regarded the sandpit at the other end of the arena. Then she flowed into motion, taking 2 steps forward and launching the spear overhand, with enough force to cause the body to lift a bit off the ground. The trajectory was flatter than the rest, Gabriel noticed, but the spear seemed to be traveling faster, and it lacked the tiny wobble she'd detected in the last 3 casts. The point came to rest in the sand, just short of Silenus's, and the dead center in the middle of the pit. Rather than a roar, a buzz of voices rose around them. Gabriel glanced at Draco.
Sorry, what was that you were saying?
The dark-skinned man looked quickly at her.
Lucky throw.
A twinkle of mischievous amusement entered Gabriel's eyes.
Are you willing to put your dinars where your mouth is on that?
She asked.
Say, 100 dinars?
Draco's jaw dropped.
Are you crazy?
I thought you said this guy can't be beat.
Draco looked at her, then at Silenus, who was giving Xena the once-over.
He can't. He's a lock.
Well then,
the bard drawled softly.
It's a sure thing, right? He grabbed her arm and swung her around.
Kid, you're nuts,
Draco stated.
But there's no law against taking money from loonies, so sure, I'm in. I'll take the bet.
Great, Gabriel said. Now, let go of me before you end up with a spear between your ears.
Huh?
Gabriel was facing away from the field, but she pointed back over her shoulder with absolute certainty. Draco's dark eyes lifted, then he released her and backed off, snorting slightly.
Oh yeah, how could I forget that possessive streak?
He studied her for a moment.
Should have figured there was a reason you stuck around her this long. Can't be the conversation.
A shimmering of memory crossed Gabrielle's vision, the tragedy and joys of the last 6 years of her life.
No,
she exhaled quietly.
It wasn't the conversation.
She turned her back on him and leaned on the pylon, not surprised to find Xena watching her with unsmiling alertness. Gabrielle winked at her. Xena relaxed visibly and turned her attention to the competition, where the seventh person was just getting up to the line. She was pleased with her first throw and suspected she could do better, though getting the distance wasn't going to be easy without putting more pressure on her leg. She folded her arms and wished they were out of the sun. It was beating down on her back, and she was caught between being glad she had almost no clothing on, and the knowledge that despite her tan, she'd be feeling the sun after the long day ended. The seventh man achieved a very good toss, off of the left, but not long enough to place him third. He acknowledged the yells of the crowd and surrendered the platform to the last competitor, turning and moving away. His eyes were still in the crowd, though, and he bumped into Selenus, who shoved him roughly away and cursed at him.
Stupid bastard! Watch your step!
The smaller hand held up a hand in apology.
Sorry, my friend. My fault.
Damn right!
Selenus shoved past him again and went to the spear rack, pawing inside it and turning his back on the rest of them.
Ooh, a little tense, aren't we?
He wiped his hand on his breech clout and settled himself next to Xena as the last man started his wind-up.
Oh, bad luck.
He winced as the spear went off at right angles, almost endangering the judges. The man had misstepped, and his leg had twisted under him after he released the spear, and he'd fallen to the ground.
Bummer.
Xena eyed him. He was compact and exuded energy, and reminded her almost irresistibly of the human Aeolus. He seemed to sense her interest, because he turned and held a hand out.
You're Xena, right? I'm Harry.
The warrior clasped his forearm and released it.
Nice throw,
she complimented him.
Not nice enough,
Harry agreed cheerfully.
But I've got 2 shots left to be with you and his royal monstrosity over there.
He ignored the glower from Selenus.
You've got an interesting technique. Where'd you learn it? Overseas? In the south?
Having to hit a soldier between the eyes at 200 lengths,
Xena replied.
In battle.
Harry scratched the side of his bearded jaw.
Should have seen that one coming, huh?
Xena found herself liking the little scamp.
Yeah.
Selenus moved up to the line again and readied himself, flexing his huge shoulders and rocking a little bit in place. Then he wound up and surged into motion, whipping his arm forward and sending the spear into another incredible arc.
He's such a pig, Harry said. Farts every time he lets it go. Did you hear him?
Xena couldn't quite suppress a chuckle at that. Selenus gave his throw an approving nod and walked away from the line. The spear had gone at least a length beyond the first one. Xena had, she realized, her work cut out for her.
Hey, baby cakes!
Gabrielle almost jumped before her mind recognized the voice and she forced herself not to react. Mindful of Draco's watching presence, she eased her head to the right and found Aphrodite materializing right next to her. The goddess bringing a scent of roses and honey with her that made the bard's nose twitch.
Hi,
she murmured under her breath.
Congrats,
Aphrodite complimented her.
I've always said you got a great pair of legs.
The bard blushed a little and glanced away for a second, focusing on Xena as she went to take her turn.
Thanks,
she said.
I know we're not the most popular people with some of your family right now.
The goddess of love laughed, her musical voice rising above the crowd and the noise.
Baby, you are rocking my world. Did you know that? I am, like, so loving the both of you right now.
Gabrielle had no idea what to say to that, so she remained silent, her eyes glued on her partner's tall form as she paused for a moment, then took two quick strides and planted her legs and let loose. Gabrielle winced in reaction, seeing the jerk go up Zena's spine as she pulled back, taking the weight off her bad leg. But the spear flew straight and true, seeming to skim over the air forever until it fell to earth at last, its point burying itself the length of Gabrielle's outstretched arms past Selenus's. She could sense shock in the watchers, but it went right past her as she ducked under the barrier around the spear pit and headed for Zena's side, barely aware of Aphrodite floating along with her. The official glanced at her and started to say something, but spotted the laurel leaves pinned to her top and subsided, turning instead to another man who showed him a scrap of parchment.
"Zee?"
Gabriel reached the warrior's side and put a hand on her arm as Zena leaned back against the spear bin.
"Yes."
Zena enunciated the word precisely, giving the hovering Aphrodite a cursory look. Everyone was looking at them, Gabriel realized, not only the crowd, but the other participants and the officials, and one look at Zena's expression told her there was no way the warrior facade was going to crack even an inch any time soon.
"Want some water?"
She changed her plan in mid-word and handed over the water skin she picked up.
"Nice throw. I think you're winning."
"Heck yeah! Nice toss, Altark Dark and Diabolical One!"
Aphrodite flicked Zena in the head with a bit of her chiffon.
"You rock!"
"Tell your brother that,"
Zena muttered, taking a sip of the water.
"Oh yeah, he's pissed,"
the goddess agreed.
"He's up there chewing the laces off of his vest. It's awesome!"
She smiled at Zena.
"I love it!"
Zena just looked at her.
"Listen, I love talking to you guys, but I gotta get back for the celestial wine serving. I just wanted to tell you to watch out,"
Aphrodite told him.
"Bro's really ticked, and there's this bet. Well, let's just say losing's not an option for him. Okay?"
"What do you mean?" Gabriel asked.
"I thought this was all about us going to war."
"Oh, yeah. That."
The goddess waved a hand.
"No, this is really important stuff. He bet Daddy he could control the whole big old mess. And if he loses, he, really loses, if you catch my drift."
Gabriel and Zena exchanged glances.
"I couldn't catch your drift with a fathom-wide fishing net,"
Zena snapped edgily.
"What in the Hades can he lose? Those tight leather pants?"
"Duh,"
Aphrodite rolled her eyes.
"Mortals, gotta love 'em. No, danger chick, he'll lose his sword. Daddy's gonna make him the ex-god of war."
She poked Zena in the shoulder.
"So, watch your back, huh?"
She snapped her fingers and disappeared, leaving behind a soft tinkling sound that faded slowly. Zena exhaled, rubbing her temple with one hand.
"Gabrielle, if this gets any more complicated, I'm gonna lose it."
The bard prudently remained silent as they watched the next couple of throws fall far short of the leaders.
"How's your leg?"
"Lousy," Zena stated shortly. "I may have to give this last one a miss. Need some herbs."
Gabriel let out a long, heartfelt sigh.
"I bet Draco at 100 dinars you'd win."
She almost felt the silence beating against her before she reluctantly turned her head and looked up, meeting those ice-blue eyes unflinchingly.
"I'll go forfeit. I can make it up to him somehow."
The warrior just looked at her.
"Did it again, didn't I?"
Zena flexed her leg and handed the water skin back.
"What would I do without you?"
She ruffled Gabrielle's hair affectionately. "I see what I can do about making sure you don't lose your skirt." She put a finger on Gabrielle's chin and smiled just a little.
"But you are going to owe me big time tonight."
The bard tried to pretend she didn't see all the smirks in her direction.
"Body, heart, and soul. It's all yours,"
she replied.
"Last round!"
the official yelled nearby.
"Make ready!"
Zena squeezed the bard's shoulder in silence, then turned and lifted her spear, going to join the group now lining up. Gabriel walked back over to where Draco was still standing and joined him in watching as Selenus uncorked a huge one, sending his spear almost to the end of the pit. Draco chuckled in triumph and gave her a poke.
"Pay up, kid. She can't beat that."
Gabriel merely watched, hearing the crowd's yelling get louder and louder as each entrant fell short, until it came up to Zena's turn again. This time, she could see the focus in every line of her partner's body, and the hairs in the back of her own neck prickled as she tensed in sympathy, willing Zena all the energy she could muster. She could almost feel the intensity, see the fire in Xena's eyes, and feel the power as the warrior surged toward the line, picked a target, and let fly. And with a sound like a thundercrack, the spear overshot the pit and slammed into a stone bust on the other side, knocking it off its pedestal and sending it into a shatter in chunks on the ground. For a moment, there was only shocked silence. Then Xena walked over to the official, plucked the laurel cluster from his hand, and kept going.
"Xena never loses. You should know that, Draco,"
Gabriel said, watching her approach.
"So, are you going to bet with us or against us?"
The ex-warlord put his hand on his hips and snorted.
"What choice do I have?"
he asked as his eyes met Xena's.
"I have to bet with you, just to break even now."
With a shake of his head, he turned and stalked off, leaving Xena and Gabriel in a small empty space in all the chaos. Xena draped an arm over the bard's shoulder and handed her the laurel leaves.
"Your skirt's safe," she announced dryly.
"Thanks,"
Gabriel replied softly.
"We've got a break now, until afternoon. Want to find some shade?"
"Lead on."
Xena sucked in a breath. Let the ache go past her, she started walking again. She had the feeling it was going to be a very, very long day. Continued in part 9. Xena sat with her back firmly pressed against a low wall, a gaily stripped canopy over her head, which blocked the sun directly above them. All around her athletes sprawled, some of the servants fanning them, others sucking down pitchers of cool water to fend off the heat. It was smart, she recognized, to give everyone a break in the worst of the day's sweltering. It was getting muggy again, and even Xena, who was more immune to the weather than most of the surrounding crowd, felt the heat sucking the energy out of her. She leaned back against the stone surface, drawing a knee up and resting a forearm against it. There was a small but distinct space around her, despite the intense crowding, and she was well aware of being subject of numerous furtive glances from men and women nearby. That wasn't unusual, Xena reasoned. She was used to being stared at and wondered about. Her eyes flicked about quickly
and feared.
Out of the corner eye, she sensed emotion as she focused her peripheral vision on it, not moving her head. Across the pavilion, a tall man was coming in her direction. He was dressed in an athlete's garb and had a lithe, sinuous grace to his walk. As he came closer, Xena slowly turned her head and looked at him, taking in the hunter's air and the sense of cold danger the man exuded. He crossed the empty space around her and stopped with his boots, just short of touching her leg.
"You are the one they call Xena."
His voice held a hint of foreign shores. Xena regarded him coolly, noting that nearby conversation had ceased, and all eyes were on her strange visitor.
"That's right.
I would speak with you."
Xena looked right and then left.
"I don't see anyone stopping you," she answered.
"Sit down."
He led her away for a moment, then in a single graceful motion, seating himself next to her, sitting cross-legged at her side and studying her intently. He was handsome, unbearded, and with hair the color of Gabrielle's, that curled tightly against his well-shaped head. His eyes were a dark gray, and held a wily intelligence that Xena readily recognized as a kindred to her own.
"My name is Dennis," he told her, "and I am going to kill you."
If Dennis expected this to shock Xena, he was sadly disappointed. The warrior grinned frankly back at him, her eyes twinkling with cold amusement.
"Nice to finally meet someone in this place with guts and the sense to tell the truth," she responded.
One of his fair eyebrows lifted a trifle.
"I will kill you,"
he repeated.
"You'll give it a try,"
Xena said.
"But you do not think I will succeed?"
Dennis countered. "I don't kill easily," the warrior told him.
"Ares should have told you that."
He didn't answer that one. Instead, he propped both elbows on his knees and steepled his fingers, peering past them at her face.
"He has told me much of you,"
Dennis allowed.
"Enough so that I have hopes that reason might win out between us, rather than bloodshed."
Xena sensed a familiar presence approaching, at the fringes of her awareness.
"That why you started out with the I'll kill you line?"
She smirked a little. Dennis shrugged one shoulder, depreciatingly.
"It has a certain impact to it," he stated. "Xena, I know not what your stake in this contest, but let me tell you what mine is." He gazed steadily at her. "I was born a Spartan."
"I fought against them," Xena replied quietly, "and for them."
That surprised him a little. She could see it in the slight widening of his eyes. "I was captured before I became a man, and brought here to Athens as a slave," he went on. "For seasons ago, I selected to be trained for the games and become the champion of Athens."
"Ironic," Xena commented.
His lips tensed briefly. "I saw my chance, and I took it. I mastered all comers and came to these games with my prize within reach."
"A laurel wreath?" Xena asked dryly.
"Freedom,"
Dennis replied in a soft voice.
"I want to go home."
Xena felt the weight of that statement, understanding it far more deeply than he'd ever guessed. She was given breathing space to answer, however, when the soft scuff of boots against stone made them both look up. Green eyes met Xena's briefly, then moved to Dennis with polite interest. Gabriel was carrying a small basket, which he set down next to where Xena was sprawled, and joined them.
"Hi."
She tucked her boots under her as she sat and held a hand out to him.
"I'm Gabrielle."
Dennis clasped her arm and let it go.
"Dennis,"
he replied courteously.
"I am..."
"The champion of Athens. Yes, I know,"
the bard interrupted him.
"And here to try and convince Xena to get out of the games and let you win."
"Let me?"
His ego stood up and snorted in indignation.
"Yeah?"
Gabriel maintained eye contact with him.
"Because otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You'd just wait for the competition if you were so sure of yourself."
She opened the basket and pulled out a piece of whey bread, wrapped around a lunch chunk of lamb.
"Lunch."
She passed it to her partner, along with a soft, gurgling wineskin.
"Thanks."
Xena accepted them and gave Dennis a reserved look.
"You were telling me why you need to win this thing."
She took a bite of the lamb and chewed it. It was a little on the salty side, and stronger tasting than she liked it, but she had had worse. Dennis turned his attention from Gabrielle and focused on her again.
"They have promised me my freedom if I triumph here, and free passage back to Sparta," he said. "I must win."
Xena sipped from the wineskin, pleasantly surprised at the rich, fruity taste.
"That's what Athens promised you,"
she said, wiping her mouth.
"What about Ares?"
He didn't answer.
"He doesn't care about your freedom," the warrior leaned forward, locking eyes with him.
"So what is it?"
"Nothing,"
Dennis said.
"He has given me the knowledge I need to achieve my goals, and has asked for nothing in return."
Gabriel sighed and shook her head.
"How old are you?"
she said in a kind voice.
24 summers,"
Dennis asked.
"Why?"
"You've got a lot to learn, kid,"
the bard told him.
"Ares never does anything for free."
Xena gave her 23-season-old partner a very droll look. "Her ancient Amazon majesty here is right. He's going to ask you to pay up sometime. You sure it's worth it?" Dennis leaned forward, his face very serious.
"My freedom is worth everything to me,"
he said.
"And I will win it, no matter what it takes."
His hands reached out, almost touching her.
"You won't stand in my way. Nothing will. Do you understand me? I care not about the tales or your claims. You will not defeat me."
The warrior took another sip of wine and studied him for a moment, idly entertaining the possibility that this young, very well-conditioned fighter might, in fact, make good on his claims. After all, he was good and determined. He was tough. He had Ares as a mentor. Her darker side grinned and licked its lips in anticipation.
"Dennis,"
Xena said,
"a lot of people will die if you win. My friends, people I care about will be put in danger, and I can't let that happen."
She met his gaze with cold finality. "This is bigger than just you."
"Ares was right,"
Dennis exhaled.
"But I had to try."
His face hardened, and an icy cast lit down over his eyes. Without a further word, he stood and walked off, sliding gracefully through the crowd and disappearing from view.
"Well,"
Gabriel scooted back and leaned against the wall next to her partner.
"That's too bad. He was sort of nice, in an arrogant, too-tough-for-his-sandals kind of way."
She put a hand on Xena's nearby leg,
squeezing the muscles under the skin lightly.
How are you doing?
Xena was sucking on her wineskin. Not bad, she remarked. Where's your lunch?
Right here.
Gabrielle pulled out a sandwich. It was lying on her thigh. You going to keep looking at it, or do something useful with it? Xena teased her, nudging with an elbow.
A sigh. I'm not hungry,
the bard admitted.
It's too hot.
She put a hand on her stomach.
I feel kind of queasy.
Xena put the back of her hand against her partner's cheek, frowning at the clamminess of her skin and the paleness of her face. When did you start feeling bad? She asked, putting down the wineskin and paying full attention to the bard. Gabrielle's breathing was a little faster and more labored than usual. When did you start feeling bad? She asked, putting down the wineskin and paying full attention to the bard. Gabrielle's breathing was a little faster and more labored than usual.
Just a while ago.
Gabrielle gave in and closed her eyes, leaning her head back against the cool stone.
It's just the weather, I think, see? Overheated, maybe.
The warrior picked up the water skin lying nearby and uncapped it and held it to Gabrielle's lips. Here, drink. Gabrielle suckled obediently.
No fair. I'm supposed to be coddling you.
You can do that later, Xena promised. By the time I finish the wrestling bout tonight, you'll probably have to haul my butt out of this place in a donkey cart. The bard rolled her head to one side and half opened her eyes.
You hurt yourself on the last throw. I felt it.
Xena gazed at her, a touch puzzled. Felt it? A nod.
Yeah.
Gabrielle's face tensed.
Not like... I mean, my leg didn't hurt, but I...
She lifted a hand, its fingers shaping something indeterminate in the air.
I could just feel it, like a shock. Like I got drenched in cold water or something.
Yeah? Xena was curious. That's never happened before.
No.
The bard exhaled.
It was weird.
Xena's brows contracted into a furrow.
I think I felt it the first time, too, out on the road.
Gabrielle went on thoughtfully.
There was so much stuff going on. It didn't really register.
Another frown.
Well, I haven't had to worry about that for a while, the bard said. Maybe it's just how that connection thing develops over time, and we just didn't know it.
She stroked the skin above Xena's injured knee with a careful finger.
And frankly, honey, I don't want to get to know that bit any better, if you catch my drift.
Xena worked a bit of her waybread off and offered it to the bard. Chew. Gabrielle made a face. Come on, if you don't get something in you, it'll just get worse. With a sigh, the bard complied, taking a bit from Xena's fingers and eating it. It was small enough to pass into a grumbling stomach without too much trouble, and bland enough not to trigger a reaction.
I feel bad for that guy.
Dennis?
Yeah.
Gabrielle accepted another bit of bread.
I mean, he's so focused on gaining his freedom, he didn't even talk about what would happen to him if he lost.
She chewed in silence for a moment, as they both sat there, listening to the buzz of the crowd around them. A horsefly entered her vision, exploring the tip of her boot curiously.
Xena.
I'm thinking about it, the warrior said.
Good.
Gabrielle took a cautious sip of water to wash the bread down.
We're all set, then.
Xena swallowed a mouthful of lamb. Haven't figured it out yet.
You will,
the bard replied.
You always do.
Talk about living up to expectations, Xena mused to herself. She could already sense the unhappiness in the crowd, who had seen favorites bested in two contests already. Amphipolis was a relatively unknown, backwards province to most of the watchers, though she suspected once her name and Gabrielle's became known, the attitude would change a little. Would winning really be the answer, though? Xena considered that. It would piss off the city, piss off the gods, probably get her in legal trouble, be painful, potentially very difficult, and would endanger the slaves the Athenian council had conscripted in to compete for them. Not good. On the other hand, it would save Amphipolis from both their taxes and the military conscription, and screw up Athens' plans to go to war, both financially and, more importantly, by destroying the over-the-top morale defeating all comers would give them. The council was counting on that to give them the support from the citizens they needed to prosecute a war. If the city lost, the citizens got hit in the pocketbook for it. Xena sighed and swigged from a wineskin. Then a thought occurred to her.
Gabrielle,
where did...
Outside, in the market. Why do you think it took me so long?
The bard answered.
I figure unless we're in the common room, eating anything from official sources as would be dangerous. She unwrapped her own sandwich, started picking at it.
You were right about the bread. I feel better now.
Gabrielle glanced up when she didn't get an answer, to find her soulmate gazing fondly at her.
What?
Maybe the partnership was growing. Xena found that thought intriguing, and surprisingly to her, very appealing. Gabrielle's personality had been developed over the past few years, her experiences bringing out different facets and moderating her youthful impulsiveness with a more mature self-confidence. She loved Gabrielle for a long time, but now, the war mused, she was coming to like her more and more each day.
You know what? We make pretty damn good team,
Xena remarked casually. I think I'll keep you. Gabrielle stopped in mid-chew, only her misgreen eyes moving as her lashes blinked over them. After a somewhat startled moment, she swallowed.
Was that in question?
She asked, hesitantly. Xena felt the pang, a faint echo of insecurity that had plagued a partner since their initial meeting, and which, though almost totally faded, still lurked there, deep down, apparently.
No, she regretted the words. I just thought I'd say it. We seem to be finishing each other's sentences lately.
A certain unconscious tension relaxed in Gabrielle's shoulders, and she shifted slightly, pressing a little closer to Xena.
Yeah, I noticed that.
She went back to eating her sandwich. Xena studied her profile for a moment, then draped an arm over her shoulder, pulling her over and kissing her on the top of the head, along with the squeeze. Gabrielle peeked up at her.
Showed, huh?
That little gimme-a-hug look? Yeah.
Xena chuckled. The bard wiggled her booted feet in contentment, and pulled the basket closer, tugging out a pair of apples and plucking one into Xena's lap. They both leaned back in silence and watched the crowd around them, knowing themselves to be an island in a very unfriendly sea. Eppin paused to wipe her brow, and regarded the slowly growing city walls they were approaching.
Damn,
she sighed. Never thought I'd be glad to see this place. Cyrene agreed.
Doesn't look like a crowd I expected. At least the road's pretty empty.
She glanced behind her, where a group of elders were resting. Despite all efforts, they had been unable to convince them to stay behind, and after the morning's funeral pyre for Josk, they started off at a very slow pace. Perhaps it was the best, the innkeeper sighed inwardly. Leave them all there, despite the Amazon guard, had been making her almost as uneasy as taking them to Athens. At least if something happened now, she'd know about it. Gods only knew what Xena would say, though. They were traveling up the embankment above the road, now struggling through the brush and uneven ground, rather than chance the mired mud of the road itself. Along the way, they'd seen things trapped in the brown muck that once could have been human or animal, and the stench from what it was almost overwhelming. But they were almost there. It was late afternoon, and the heat was beginning to dissipate. After a few more moments' rest, they pushed on.
I just had a disgusting thought.
Eppin spoke up from her place on the other side of Cyrene.
Don't share,
Eppin begged.
Please. Please.
Cyrene gazed at them in wiry amusement.
What's that, Effany?
Place is going to be packed. What if we can't find sleeping space? Eppin groaned. Kate and Palladi exchanged glances, but continued trudging along behind them. But Cyrene didn't flinch.
Oh, well.
The innkeeper cleared her throat.
That, at least, I've got covered, she said. I have an old friend who keeps one of the best inns in Athens. We may end up in the back of the stable, but she'll find us a space.
A stable?
One of the elders protested.
Xena and Gabrielle slept in the stable in Amphipolis for ever so long, Kate interjected smoothly. I'm sure it would be just super.
Don't catch me sleeping in no stable.
Bran snorted, jerking away from Eppin's hold on the rope that bound her hands.
No, you won't. You'll sleep in the lockhouse,
Pony told her,
with the rest of the scum. Bastard.
Bran cursed and struggled.
Blind scum!
Pony amended.
Stop that or I'll knock your head off!
Kate whipped out a chobo and whacked Bran on the back of the leg, causing their captive to yelp.
Stop it! At once!
Back!
Dory, strapped to Kate's back, watched with interest. She was sucking her thumb, apparently oblivious to the heat and the stress of the journey.
Cat make bad go ow!
She stated approvingly.
Bad go!
She pointed at Bran.
Oh, hush, you little... Yow!
Kate drew back her hand again. Once more, and I'll go a bit higher next time, she warned. Bran snorted.
Need a ladder to reach my head, you... Yow!
Do not! Kate settled back to the ground with a satisfied grunt and a giggle from Dory. Did you like that, Dory?
Go fly!
Dory squealed. Kate glanced over her shoulder.
Sorry, she apologized to the toddler. I can only manage a hop. You have to wait till we get to the city where Zena is for that.
Boo!
Dory started, bouncing up and down.
Go! Boo, 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 boo!
Ow! Dory, please!
Kate covered her ear.
I'm sure we'll all be ever so glad to see Zena.
Effany rubbed the back of her sunburned neck and privately admitted the utter truth of that. For one thing, she held the belief that only Zena and Gabrielle could really keep control over Dory. The rest of them had to be on their toes and very alert every moment, lest a child get into something dangerous, because Dory simply refused to listen to anyone else, save perhaps occasionally Cyrene. Headstrong didn't even come close to describing the toddler. Dory was more like a tiny tornado, touching down and carving her own path across the landscape, without regard to life and limb from anyone else around her. She'd gotten loose last night, and after 2 candle marks of frantic searching, they finally found her playing contentedly inside a half-collapsed stone storage bin in the back of the abandoned temple. Effany knew she must have heard them calling her. There was nothing wrong with Dory's hearing. The child had just decided she was going to do what she wanted, and that was all there was to it. So she was be glad to turn Dory back over to her mother's, who had a mutual adoration society going on with the kid, and maybe they could all get some sleep. Who would have guessed? Effany spared her smile. At a moment of memory, for the first time, she'd seen her friend's little heir, only days after her birth. It had been a cool morning, spring, where she started up the long, sloping road from the river up to the gates of Amphipolis. She had been traveling for days, and she'd been very glad to see the familiar lines of the village rising up in the horizon, looking forward to the welcome of her friends and the Amazon sisters who lived there. She'd woken before dawn and been looking forward to a seat at Cyrene's table, among other things, when she cleared the gates of village and stopped to decide on which direction to go first. Early though it was, there was already activity going on near the inn, and she decided to take a detour down the left-hand path towards a small cabin behind them. She had been glad she had, when she had passed the first set of trees and spotted her familiar, fair-haired figure, already seated on the porch, enjoying the morning sun.
Gabrielle!
The bard had looked up, and a big grin had crossed her face. Even from where Effany was, she could see the intense sparkle of Gabrielle's green eyes and the pride on her face as she glanced down at the small bundle cradled in her arms. Effany had been shocked. Gabrielle hadn't been due for another month, and she figured on arriving in time for the birth of Grinella's twins, then being there for a friend for the last hardest fortnights of her confinement. Not that Gabrielle had suffered a difficult pregnancy, or that Effany didn't think she'd be well cared for here in her chosen home. But there were things in her friend's recent past that the Amazon region had found herself unable to forget or forgive. As their eyes had met, she felt the weight of their shared history and the knowledge of just how much a child, this child, meant to her young friend. Well, well, she mounted the stairs and walked over. What do we have here? Couldn't wait, huh?
Nope.
Gabrielle had proudly straightened the soft covering.
Come here, meet Joriana.
Effany had, sitting down on the chair next to the bard.
A little girl.
A new little princess, I'm thinking. She held her arms. Can I?
Sure.
Gabrielle had handed the child over, watching her as she cradled the baby.
She's cute, huh?
Effany examined the newborn, finding a well-grown baby with a cap of silky dark hair and sturdy arms and legs in her clutches.
She's beautiful, Gabrielle,
she said, delighted with the baby's obvious health.
What a handful! You'd never guess she's early.
A moment of silence had made her look up to find Gabrielle gazing back at her with the most unfathomable expression on her face. She hadn't understood it at the time.
No offense meant, she laughed, thinking she insulted her friend. And how are you feeling?
Wonderful, Gabrielle had replied. It was all over so fast. Zena made sure everything went perfectly. another shadow of the past, was reflected clearly, silently between them. Ebony had smiled in understanding, and then looked down as the baby gurgled. Seeing bluish-green eyes gazing up at her in wonder, and a small hand reaching for her boar's tooth necklace in infant curiosity. Absolutely gorgeous. What a head of hair on her already. And look at those fingers. She watched as the child clutched on the smooth surface. She's going to be a strong one. Ebony looked up at Gabrielle. Like her mom. A smile had appeared on the bard's face, and sparking a sudden brilliant warmth in her eyes. Sure looks like it. She'd agreed, leaning on the arm of her chair. It's hard to believe. I keep looking at her, and just, it's like a birthday present every minute. Ebony had carefully handed the baby back to her mother, and enjoyed the sight of Gabrielle cuddling her, basking in a glow of new motherhood that had fairly made her heart ache. Her happiness had been so evident, and so deserved. How'd Zena react? And Gabrielle had laughed, her voice lifting out across cool morning.
Now, of course, Ebony understood that laugh, though. She really didn't understand the how and the why of Dory's birth. She just knew that Gabrielle was happy, and that really was what mattered in the long run. Though her first sight of Zena cradling Dory in her arms had been, in all truth, bittersweet, she had no doubt whatsoever of the warrior's love for the child. Zena had fairly glowed with it.
Boo, 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 boo!
Dory squealed. And boy, that kid loved Zena. Ebony rubbed her ear. Yeah, we're going, Dory. Trust me, she told the child. Gonna go find your mama and your boo.
Mama!
Dory grinned happily.
Get mama. Go get fishies. Boo, go fly.
Well then, she's got her day planned. Ebony had to laugh along with the rest of them. They were now within easy sight of the city walls, and could see the inner cuts made in the embankments to allow travelers to descend down into the city gates. They made their way carefully down and approached the guards, who barely gave them a second glance after having seen so many travelers in the same condition for so many days. One of the younger guards came over, picking carefully around the planks that had been set on the mud.
Halt!
He sighed. Ebony held the hand up, and everyone did, the elders patently glad to, as they leaned on one another. Greetings, she spoke to the guard politely, as Johan came up behind to join her.
Purpose?
The man barely looked at her. Just visiting? The Amazon regent hazarded. An older guard, with rank marks on his surcoat, came over, studying them curiously.
Amazons?
He inquired. Gee, what clued you? Ebony folded her arms over her chest.
That's right. My name is Ebony. I'm the regent of the West Mountain Amazon tribe, she said. These are my sisters. We are escorting the people who have come from Amphipolis.
The captain stiffened.
Amphipolis?
He asked loudly. The rest of the guards quickly gathered around him, muttering,
The Hades, you say?
Uh-oh. Ebony sighed.
Got a bad feeling about this.
She glanced around them nervously, seeing a limited number of escape options. Her hand closed over the hilt of her sword, though, and she watched Kate and Palladia shift and edge out, sensing danger.
That's right.
Cyrene stepped forward.
I'm the innkeeper there. What's this all about?
That name's not very welcome here at the moment,
the captain told her tersely.
But I've not been given instructions to bar you. Though I'd watch my back very closely, were I you if you pass these gates.
Oh, great,
Pony sighed.
Can we ever go someplace and not be in trouble?
With your face, I think not,
Bran taunted her. Pony glared at her, then turned towards the guards.
Hey, you guys are the law, right?
Distracted, the captain eyed her.
Of course.
Good.
Ebony handed him the rope, much to Bran's horror.
Found this vagabond robbing citizens on the road. Can you lock it up?
Hey!
Bran jerked the rope back and started running, only to get trapped in the mud as she went off the planking.
Son of a...
Get her!
The captain ordered.
I think bloody great shield of Zeus. It is. It's the damned escaped slave!
He yelled.
Take her!
He turned to the group.
Move along. We'll take care of this, and I thank you for bringing her in.
A pause.
Even if you are from Amphipolis.
Hey, you can't leave me with these guys. Hey!
Bran yelled frantically as the guards descended on her.
Hey!
Effany watched them for a moment, then nodded towards the gates. Let's go. She put her hand on Sirene's back. Let's go see if we can figure out what's going on. They all shuffled past the gates and into the city of Athens, pausing in silence at the grand vista that spread before them. A broad boulevard climbed steadily uphill, flanked with buildings and full of color, sound, and smell. Far off, they heard the strident roar of what sounded like a mob.
Are we quite sure we want to know what's going on?
Kate's voice piped up. Effany sighed.
Mac!
Dory added, peering over Kate's shoulder. They all knew who she was now. Gabrielle walked quietly to her assigned spot, very aware of the palpable hostility directed towards her both from her fellow competitors and the crowd. Her throat felt suddenly dry. She wished she had some water, as the officials readied themselves and the other runners got into place.
Don't think you'll get lucky again,
the tall redhead winner of the second race told her.
This is my day, not yours.
She took a spot right next to Gabrielle and stood easily, shaking her hands and flexing them.
All right,
Gabrielle exhaled, glancing to the other side of her to see a pair of dark eyes and a dark-skinned face glaring back at her.
Don't think about any tricks,
the dark-skinned woman said.
You try anything with me, and I'll make sure you wipe your face on that stone track.
Gabrielle blinked at her.
Tricks? What kind of tricks could there be in a simple foot race?
Don't act so innocent.
Red Hair snapped from the other side.
Just a coincidence the two best runners in the first place get tripped right near you.
What are you saying? The bard asked. I didn't have...
Liar!
Darkskin hissed.
But you'll get what's coming to you in this race. There won't be any laurel leaves for you.
Gabrielle felt sick. She tried to do what Xena did, and simply let the words slide off of her. But her nature was essentially different from her soulmate's, and the hostility pressed down on her, making her stomach twist.
Loser.
Red Hair snorted.
Go back to the sticks where you belong.
At that moment, Gabrielle acknowledged sadly. She'd have given about anything to have just done that. She closed her eyes briefly in an attempt to concentrate, then opened them and stared forward. Ahead of her, the track stretched, and as she looked down it, seemed to narrow almost oppressively. The crowd's roar got louder, and the strident tone started to get on her nerves, as she wished silently that it was all over with. To her right, the official lifted his hand. She leaned forward, feeling sadly unsure and inadequate, and suddenly quite certain that she was about to make a fool of herself in losing. She started to shake and felt a sense of panic rise, and desperately she searched inside herself for the balance that was deftly eluding her. Then her darting eyes found, at last, a focus point as she saw Xena step out from the crowd and stand firmly at the end of the track. Never had the warrior's tall, sturdy form seem more welcome sight.
Be ready!
In that moment, all Gabrielle wanted, she decided, was to be at the end of the track in the arms of the person who meant more than life did to her. To Hades with the race. Let them win. Let them have their nasty laurel leaves and their stinking attitudes. She had Xena. The official's arm swept down, and she just took off and ran. She didn't look left or right, or care in the slightest what position she was in. She was aware, in a far-off sort of way, of her heart pounding in her chest and the loud noise around her. But seconds later, her objective was obtained, and she was hurling herself at full speed right into Xena's waiting arms. She heard the air come out of her soulmate's lungs with a grunt as they both hit the low wall behind the track. Then she just hung on to the tall body as her own tried to sort itself out.
Sorry.
Easy, champ,
Xena murmured, rubbing the bard's back gently, aware of the direly fast heartbeat racing against her fingertips.
Take it easy, okay?
How bad I do,
Gabrielle gasped, blinking sweat at her eyes.
I tried. I didn't. God, Xena, they were being so...
She sucked in a ragged breath.
Just too much. Try to make it up, see? Was I last?
No. You won, sweetheart.
Xena told her quietly.
Fair and square. You came out first and never looked back. They never had a chance.
Gabrielle simply stood there in stunned silence for a moment, as her breathing steadied. I won. She turned her head and looked around in bewilderment, seeing the other runners gathering around. The dark-skinned favorite was leaned over, her hands on her knees, her whole body shaking with heaving breaths. Red hair was sitting on the ground, a ball of frustration. The others were staring at her. At them were resentful respect. Very confused, the bard tipped her chin up and found Xena looking back at her with a quiet, proud smile.
How? She whispered. I didn't think I...
I know, Xena agreed, smoothing her sweat-dampened hair back. But I did. Gabriel leaned her head against the warrior's shoulder, taking a steadying breath before she straightened up and turned to face the crowd. With Xena's stalwart presence behind her, she suddenly felt twice her height and found it easy now to meet the eyes of her erstwhile competitors.
I know, but I did.
Gabriel's mind replayed the words over and over and over again. It felt so incredible to hear that, and she savored it, wrapping it around her soul like the softest lamb's wool. She felt her face creasing into a smile, and all the dour looks in the world couldn't even make a dent in that as the officials walked towards her.
A good race, citizen.
The older of the two greeted her politely.
You have a fine pace on you.
Thanks,
Gabriel replied quietly, as they tacked a full sprig of laurel on her, a half circle of leaves tied with a bit of gold thread.
I guess I just had the right motivation, she said, and someone who believed in me more than I did myself.
The official didn't understand. He merely gave her a nod and walked on to the second and third place runners, the two women who had been harassing Gabrielle at the start of the race. One of the other runners, a young woman about Gabrielle's height and general build, approached her, and the bard steeled herself for more of the same treatment. Then she felt Xena drape her arms casually over her shoulders, and felt the pressure of the warrior's cheek against the side of her head, and figured if the woman was that stupid, bring her on. The thought made her chuckle inwardly, though, at herself. Gabrielle, bard of Potidaea, with her living cloak of intimidation, huh? She put her hands on her hips and waited, meeting the woman's gaze with a proud one of her own.
Congratulations,
the woman held the hand out. Gabriel exchanged clasps with her.
Thanks.
I like your training aid,
the woman pointed at Xena.
Know where I could get one like that?
Oh, well, that was better.
Gabriel grinned at her frankly.
There's only one like this, she told her. Sorry.
The woman shook her head, then laughed and moved on. Gabriel released a breath and turned around.
Where to next?
She asked.
Wrestling pit?
Xena nodded. A wince.
I saw those guys practicing yesterday, Xena.
Tough? The warrior asked as they started walking.
Smelly.
Ah, great. Xena made a face. Well, I don't think my leg's up to any extended contest. Better make it fast then.
You could hold the rose between your teeth. It might help.
Not if I get a thorn up my nose.
How about a gardenia, then?
Nah, I'll just think of something worse.
Then smelly grunting guys? Like what?
Dory's diapers.
Long pause. Ew.
To be continued.
Well, that concludes the 91st episode of XNU. And the Christmas episode of XNU. I hope everyone's enjoyed the show. Now, as I stated earlier, we will be doing several things in the next episodes and getting things started. First and foremost is start sending in stories, Uber stories, 1 to 2 pages long. Any and all stories will be accepted. I will have a cutoff point of the 98th episode. So that it gives me time, so that's pretty much 6-7 weeks for you to put a story together. And it'll give me time to read through the stories and then announce who the winning author or authors are and have their story read on the show. But go ahead and send them all in because I will post all of them, but only the winning one will be given a voice. Start sending in your recipes as well, as I will be compiling them together for the 100th episode and making a recipe corner, and also start suggesting what the recipe corner should be titled, whether it should just be recipe corner or a specific title for where we should put all the cooking recipes.
In the meanwhile, everyone, I hope everyone has a safe and enjoyable Christmas holiday. Merry Christmas to you all from Julie and I. And please enjoy your time with everyone, with your families. And just remember the initial thought of Christmas, that Christ was born. So everyone, enjoy life and love, and Merry Christmas.